Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Roadshow Friday. We're here at the Graduate Hotel, 9th and P. Want to see you down here. Top Golf simulators are alive and well. Purdue is here. Hall of Fame fullback is talking a lot with his hands to our right. And we have Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore riding shotgun, a guy who looks a lot like Buddy from Ozarks teeing away down the road. And Iowa Russ is here. Bless his heart. Back-to-back live shows he's sat in on. He's put the shock collar on me. And he's like, I'm going to make sure no ill will is said towards Iowa. Jay, how are you, brother?
I'm good. Just wrapping up a few last-minute work stuff for the week and making sure so my clients are getting taken care of, so I had to take a quick phone call. We got in here just in time.
No, game time is on time. On time is game time. That's how it works. Excited. Going to be a great weekend here in Lincoln as Nebraska-Purdue set to rock. Purdue, a dynamite football team, a lot of talent. Nebraska trying to get in winning mode in the era that is Scott Frost, and guys have had a good week of practice. That is good news. Jay, you broke some of it down, the bad and the ugly against Michigan on Big Red Wrap-Up this week. We'll get to that. Big BTN, their tailgate, their tour, those are a lot of fun. Those are awesome. They are going to be out front at PBA tomorrow at 9 a.m. A lot of important Nebraska folks will be there. And, of course, they'll be ready to break down Nebraska and Purdue. I'm praying that we have the coach on the line. Jerry DiNardo is in town getting ready to rock for BTN tailgate. And we'll get things kicked off with the coach right now. Coach, are you with us?
I am, Chris. Just here trying to stay warm.
Yeah, what's the deal, man? You're usually where you go, there's warm weather.
It's 50 degrees, and I'm inside. I don't know what it's like outside.
I know. Well, Coach, it's going to be great to have you and the crew here for the Big Ten Network tailgate. I know you guys were just at Iowa, Wisconsin. Let's start off with just your oversight, your overview, if you can, of this matchup tomorrow, your takeaways with where Purdue's at, your takeaways with where Nebraska's at.
Well, you know, they're pretty close, you know, in a lot of regard. Defensively, I think Purdue probably had the best outing last week against BC, so they've gotten better as the year has gone on defensively. I don't know that Nebraska has played as well on defense since the Colorado game. You know, offensively, Nebraska obviously has been banged up a little bit, especially with Adrian Martinez. So I don't think we've seen their best shot yet. I think it's a real even match game tomorrow. I think the fact that Nebraska's home is going to give them somewhat of a boost, as you would expect it to. So I don't know. It's a coin flip. I mean, these are two pretty even teams.
Coach, do you think a deciding factor in this game could be that one team has some sort of identity in year two of their coach and one team is still searching for who they are at this point of the season?
You know, Jay, I think that's always a fact in the first couple of years. You know, it just takes time, as you know. And I don't think there's any doubt that the people at Purdue and the team and the coaching staff are much more comfortable than they were a year ago. And Scott and his team are going to be much more comfortable a year from now. It's just the way it is. I think the learning curve, and if you want to use the word culture, which everybody uses in college football nowadays, you know, most of that growth is in the first year. You know, you come back the second year, and everybody kind of knows the gig. You know what the coach wants. You know what you want to understand his philosophy, and it's just so much different. And I could say, Purdue may have been a more talented team last year, to speak to your point. and yet they might be playing better defense this year than last year, and they lost a lot of defensive players, and I think it's because of your question. They've settled into what they want to do at Purdue right now.
Jerry DiNardo's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Big Ten Network, at Jerry DiNardo. Follow him on Twitter as Coach is in town. Big Ten Network is in town for the tailgate, and that'll get cranked up at 9 tomorrow morning. So stop by there before you get ready for Nebraska-Purdue, as the guys will be on site getting ready for the Big Ten weekend as they are making their trip to Lincoln. Coach, what's your takeaway with Nebraska's offensive line? I know you played offensive line. I know you study it and coached it at a super high level. And what is the Nebraska offensive line right now? Because they looked really good against Colorado, not so great against Troy. And then Michigan's a whole different animal. Can you put your finger on what Nebraska has in the trenches?
Well, I would eliminate the Michigan game. That obviously there was some issues there that I just think it was just not a real reflection, I think, where the Nebraska team is right now. You know, I think you go back to Adrian Martinez. I mean, talk about someone that can help an offensive line. Just the threat of the option. You don't even have to run the option all that much. But if you have a quarterback that has the threat of an option, you reduce the numbers in the box, you give the tailback a little bit more room, and that helps an offensive line. And, I'd say this offensive line is a work in progress. I think the whole program and the whole team is a work in progress, and to expect anything else, I think, is probably a mistake. Did I think they'd have a better record at this point? I think we all did. But, it's just going to take some time, and I think you've got everybody in the right spot, meaning the coaching staff, and let's see what happens tomorrow. Tomorrow could be a big day.
Coach, when it comes to the offensive line, one thing that Nebraska's a work in progress with right now is some of that depth. They have the five they've deemed that'll give them the best chance to win. There's a six man in Bo Wilson. There's a couple of other names that are working their way up, and then there's some guys that are upperclassmen that haven't seen a lot of time, and they're getting more reps now with this regime. That said, you can't fast track that, and gosh, if Nebraska has an injury, that's always part of life in the offensive line. That said, they've got to be a bit frustrated performance wise and You tell me, what's this front seven like for Purdue? What's Nebraska going to face tomorrow?
Well, I don't think they're as physical as they were a year ago, but they're playing awful well. They're going to move around. They're not just going to sit there and let Nebraska come off the ball and get after them quite a bit. Nick Holt has done a great job with the Purdue defense. He's defended the spread the first couple of weeks of the season, and last week against Boston College, it was more of a traditional defense. He's gonna give them some challenges, there's no doubt. I mean, that's what he does every week. But I suspect that knowing the Purdue defensive talent, they're gonna move around some. You're gonna see the linebackers threatening the line of scrimmage to see if they can slow down some of the zone blocks of Nebraska. So it'll be a chess match. Chris, remember, it took James Franklin about 4 years to stabilize his offensive line. I mean, it's just not easy. You usually have 15 of those guys on scholarship, and you have some attrition. So it's one of the positions that takes a little bit longer to develop.
Coach, let's flip the side of the football and look at defensively for Nebraska. And David Blau's coming in here where he's been absolutely spot on in his performances in Lincoln. Defensively, what does Nebraska have to do scheme-wise, schematic-wise, wrinkles-wise to give him some difficulties? Because he's actually performed really, really well in front of 90,000 strong and red here in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah, Jay, other than to contain him and not let him make some decisions on the run, because he can run and he's pretty dangerous when he gets outside of contain. So other than containing him, I really don't know. I haven't studied Purdue's offense enough to know how you would scheme him defense. I do know this, Jay. I watched that Nebraska defense against Colorado, and I said, that is not what we have watched the last two or three years. It was so much better than what we had watched the last couple of years. And that's what I would expect tomorrow. I don't know what the scheme is, but I have to tell you, when you watch the tape against Colorado, when you watch the Nebraska defense against Colorado, then you watch them against the other teams that they played, it's not the same. And so, I don't think this is an X and O game. I think it's a Jimmy and Joe game. And I'm talking about Jimmy's and Joe's just flying to the football, keeping leverage on the ball. If there's one missed tackle, it's okay because there's two or three other guys around the ball. And you're not going to have two or three missed tackles. You might have one. And that's kind of the way it went in Colorado. I would just watch that tape again with the team, the defense, and say, hey, let's do this. Even though you lost to Colorado, it was just so much better and looked so much better. I'll be shocked if they don't look tomorrow like they looked against Colorado.
Couple more minutes. Jerry DiNardo's with us. Hail Varsity Radio, Big Ten Network, the coach, and BTN tailgate here in Lincoln tomorrow out in front of PBA at 9 a.m. Coach, two coaches that you've been very outspoken about and you like that they've, come to the Big Ten, Coach Brohm, Coach Frost, you got to be excited with this matchup tomorrow. Both pretty talented offensive minds.
Yeah, I love the passion, too. I love how competitive they were as quarterbacks. I mean, obviously, remember both of them. Jeff Brohm was in the XFL. The 1 year the XFL was up and running, and we competed against him. Scott Frost, 97. I mean, I remember him being a quarterback. I've seen them both coach. They have a little different styles. Scott's a little bit more reserved. Jeff's a little bit more outspoken. But come game day, I love these ex-quarterbacks turned head coaches. I think they bring a lot to the game. I think these two guys are really bright, really, really some of the real young, outstanding coaches in the country, and it's going to do nothing but make their programs better and make the Big Ten better.
Coach, I don't know how much you want to divulge or can divulge, but you spent time with Coach Osborne, saw your tweet earlier. How much option football was talked? How much fishing was talked?
Well, we talked option and fishing before we did our piece. I told Coach Osborne, I reminded him it was about 28 years ago when I was young head coach at Vanderbilt, and I was one of the few head coaches, and I told a story before that was the offensive coordinator coaching the quarterbacks, calling the plays, and the head coach, and there weren't many people doing that, if any. And so I called Coach Osborne and said, can I come in and study your football? And I had just left Colorado, and it was a little bit of a rivalry. I really expected him to say no, but he said yes. And so he treated me unbelievably open and graceful, as you would imagine. But I also got hooked on fishing when I was here. And I went home, and my wife said, how'd the trip go? What'd you learn? I said, I'm going to take up fishing. She said, you went and visited Coach Osborne, and you come back with fishing? But I came back with a lot more fishing. But we talked about some things I think people will be interested in. I mean, obviously, he shared some things about Scott with me. But I was interested in how entering the Big Ten has helped all of the athletes on campus, not just football, and a few other things that we talked about. He's been around a long time. I wanted to know what he thought where college football had improved. And, there's not many football coaches that also spent 6 years in Congress, so I asked him about that as well.
He has got such a wealth of humanity, and the football part, the Congress part, absolutely. Last thought here, Coach, about 60 seconds. What's Nebraska in for trying to defend Rondale Moore?
Well, you better keep him inside in front of you. You better know where he is every snap. They're going to move him around. They're going to motion him. They're going to hide him. They're going to create ways to give him the ball. And again, this is one of the things that Jeff Brohm does best. He moves his pieces around the board, and you better know where Rondale is. He's really been special. You saw last week against BC, they had four guys around him, but they lost leverage. He got outside the last tackler on the line, and that's a problem. So they're going to have to know where he is, and they're going to have to keep leverage on him inside and in front.
Coach, thanks for making time for us. We know you're busy. Enjoy Lincoln, and enjoy your time here. Thanks for a few minutes.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Jay.
Take care. There he is, Jerry DiNardo, the coach. Big Ten Network with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. as Big Ten Tailgate gets rolling at 9 a.m. We'll have the weekend edition of Hail Varsity 7 to 9 a.m. down in the Rail Yard. Big Ten Network gets rolling with their tailgate at 9 right in front of PBA. I think Jason Peters is going to be on site. Coach Tim Miles and then Coach DiNardo got to sit down, spend time with Coach Osborne. Great atmosphere. We're here at the Graduate Hotel, 9th and P, and we're here every home football Friday. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt. Top Golf is alive and well. There's one suite that's open, and I have a suggestion how to fill that suite. We'll get to next segment, but Purdue is staying here. I've asked this all week, and I don't know if I asked you Monday or not. This week's a blur, but have you ever had a Boilermaker?
I have, yeah.
Okay.
You know, my one of my best friends played at Purdue, Steve Swagger. We've had him on the show before.
Right.
We went out one time, and gosh, we had like three or four of them. They're not good, but they're not very good at all. That's but we had them, and we had a good time. Needless to say, we're feeling pretty good at the end of that night.
I bet. we will have the Friday forecast coming up. Danny Burke will enlighten all. Klausburn will make you laugh. I will tell you where to stay away. Jay Moore will just be rock solid. Greg Smith, recruiting analyst, coming up at 4:40. Thoughts on Purdue with Jay Moore up next. Hail Varsity live at the Graduate, 9th and P, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing, it's Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt. Here at the Graduate, 9th and P. Time for you to come down. I know it's a little cold, a little damp. It's all right. They have the garage doors shut, which means you can go fire up a cocktail, maybe some munchies, and do some Top Golf. The Top Golf simulators have been going on here, and it's something for you to write down and memorize because they are phenomenal. And if you're more into painting the outside corner, they have you can switch it up. They got a little baseball game here too. I don't know if they have the big screen version of John Elway's football. Never a fan of that one. Arcade games out in the main lobby. Super Mario Brothers still works me. Galactico is difficult for me. And then Frogger, let's just say I'm not like Costanza getting across Broadway in Fifth. 466-377-6800-825-5865 can dial us up, can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com, can follow us on Twitter at JMoore44, at Schmidt_radio, and at DannyBurke5. Purdue is here. Purdue has invaded. We may have to just see how bad a Boilermaker is, the drink, not the football team. I have a proposal because there's some Purdue players milling around here, and they just got done competing in Top Golf. Let's have a contest. Let's have a Top Golf contest between Rondale Moore and Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. We're not going to have a shuttle run or a 40-yard bird. You're a fast dude for your size.
Yeah, but I don't.
But you're not him?
I'm not 4.3 speed.
Right, right.
Never, I'm a 4.3 guy through like 30 yards, but not 40.
The last 10 is an issue.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's okay. But my suggestion is you and Rondale Moore play Top Golf here. And the loser doesn't play tomorrow.
Deal? I think
you take one for the team there?
Yeah, I would.
Hey, what do you think? You have spent a lot of time breaking down this Purdue team. You spent a lot of time kind of soul-searching this Nebraska team. And I want your take. There's a laundry list here of questions I have. First, let's start with special teams because you're a guy that played and performed on special teams as well as your starting spot on the defensive end for 3 years. And DeWitt's a really good coach, mm-hmm. Okay? So I'm not going, it's the coaching. Guys got to want to do it. That's been said. It's been an adult conversation about execution and the want-to side of things. You tell me what you see. You tell me what's fixable. You tell me what's, oh, crap, Purdue could get a third straight punt return tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, special teams is all about attitude. Being on a special teams, you know, it's not sexy. It's not ultra rewarding, you know, unless you're, you know, a kicker making the game winner, you know, things like that. But here's what it comes down to is, you know, it's just the simple things where I think that's where Nebraska overall in all three phases, it's the simple little things. It's being a step here where you need to be, you know, you're a yard here where you need to be just a yard over here. You know, it's overrunning a play. It's letting a guy just get, you know, just sometimes they're not setting themselves up right pre-snap. But even the special teams, like I broke it out on Tuesday on Big Red Wrap-Up on the one that when Michigan took it back, they had guys. So when you're running out on punt team, everyone has a lane. You're running down, you know, you're probably 7 to 10 yards between the next guy. You're not going to be perfectly, you know, on the same level, but you have to have spacing. You kind of have an area of the field that's yours. And Nebraska had guys, 2 to 3 guys running down just on top of each other. Where
jumbled?
It's just mushed. Yeah, it's jumbled up, and you just can't have that. And missed tackles. Missed tackles were a huge thing in there. There was some really good effort in that area. But, again, it's just simple stuff. It's knowing your leverage. Where to send the guy. I mean, Nebraska sent the guy towards the sideline. All you have to do is get him out of bounds. Nebraska could not get it out of bounds. Now, Michigan did a hell of a job. Their effort on sealing the edge. Caleb Tanner was about ready to make a tackle, and the Michigan guy came out of nowhere and just did a beautiful, threw his hands up in the air, just like a screen block, almost like in basketball. And it almost looked like it was going to be a block in the back, but it wasn't. It was just an absolutely beautiful effort by him to make that happen. But I also think that there's a little bit of the difference, too, between the Michigan and Nebraska. It's that little extra effort. I think sometimes the special teams as well, you're running down there, and maybe you're thinking someone else is going to make the play. Maybe you're hoping someone else is going to make the play.
You're not really into it.
Correct. You're not fully bought in. You're kind of like, you know. Because like I said, it's not – being on the punt team is not sexy. I was on the punt team for 2 or 3 years, and even in my pro career I was on the punt team. But you learn to take pride in it and do the right things and protect and cover and make a play. No, it's not. I mean, is it great running, you know, blocking for 3 seconds and then running down, you know, with your head on a swivel, make sure you don't get your head knocked off, and then trying to make a tackle running down as fast as you can against guys running as fast as they can against you? I mean, no, it's not, but that's what you're asked to do, and you do it to your best ability. So I just think sometimes some guys, I think, you know, aren't fully bought into them being on there, even though they're young. I mean, hell, I would have killed to play as a true freshman and be on the punt team. I would have loved it. That'd been great. If all I had to do was just do that every game, I mean, as a true freshman, that'd be phenomenal. But there's got to be a little more buy-in, a little more effort. It's just the little things. They're not that far off. I mean, just knocking a guy out of bounds, making a tackle here, you know, you might have a couple more, or at least one more win, or at least a win, mm-hmm. you know, against Troy if you can get a guy down. But It's just the little things right now with this team. I've seen it on film, and it's just they're just off. They're just off a little bit, and that's what I see that you know the most right now.
Talk to you about the offensive line. What is there panic with the O-line in your eyes? You heard about Hickson. You hear Miller. You hear those names. You hear Bill Wilson. There's Reardon, Gaylord. I mean, Gaylord sat down for 12 minutes. On Monday, and guys like, he's not blaming. He's telling me from a development, I got 5 reps of practice, and I'd screw 2 of them up, so my confidence sucked, and I didn't get more than 5 reps. Mm-hmm. Your job not to screw up 2 out of 5, and he owns that. That said, what's behind them has not been developed. So this right. is the 5 you ride with. There's question about center. There's question about interior. Again, it's hard to judge off of Michigan other than Michigan's really, really good. So moving forward here, what can the O-line be? What can be there to protect Adrian? What can be there for the running game?
Well, it's going to be a process with this group because when you're 315 pounds and you're going at that tempo, it's a process to getting yourself mentally prepared. And, you know, doing it early in the game, you feel great. But that second half, you come back out after sitting down for, you know, 17 minutes in the locker room. getting yourself mentally prepared to handle that tempo again and do those things and doing it for four quarters. I just don't think and that's why they need the depth. That's why they're struggling right now, because they don't have the depth. Because when you get that tempo going, I mean, I don't care how big you are or, excuse me, how good of shape you are, but you're 315, 320, 330, and you get going like that for, you know, 15, 16 plays or whatever it may be, and you're going that fast, or, you know, it's hard. It's hard on those big boys. So I think that's been a learning process with them, because you get tired, your technique drops, your mental capacity to think drops. So that's why I think it's going to be a process there. I'm not panicking. One thing is a little perplexing to me is when you have guys who played a lot of football between Foster, Farmer, and
Conrad.
Mm-hmm. Mistakes are happening there. Over time, football's still football. You still got to block a guy. You still know the techniques. I mean, that stuff doesn't change. That's a little alarming to me when you have guys who play a lot of football, a lot of snaps across the board. They struggle, but again, that tells me, you know what, still with the new scheme, new faces, communication's not quite there, you get a little tired, but it's going to be a process. I agree with Coach DiNardo when he said last segment where, you know, it's going to take a few years to get this thing built up to where Coach Austin needs it to be and where Coach Frost needs it to be to get this offense going. There's definitely some holes there, but I think, you know, you get things going, you get some calls, you get those guys comfortable. The communication, it gets better across the board. Everyone's playing on the same level. Everyone's working together, and they'll steadily improve, hopefully, over the year.
We'll spend some more time on the defensive line in the 5 o'clock hour. Level of concern with no Mick tomorrow?
Oh, I'm not concerned. I'd like to see Damian Daniels. You know, I love his penetration. I think he is a really, really good player. I think, you know, Mick, listen, he's beat up. He's got bad knees, but I think
Mick's got 150,000 miles on him.
Yeah, it's tough. I'd never liked him playing the nose guard position. I just never have. He's too tall.
I think he's just a team guy first.
100%. He's just doing what's asked of him. They had to make that switch, and that's great. I commend him for that. I can imagine telling my coach, hey, you know, we want to move you to a 3 technique and put 30 pounds on you, and I've been like, I never would have said no. You know, you do what you're told. But I just still, I don't think it was a right move for him. Feel bad for the guy. He's beat up so bad in his senior year. But, you know, it's time to see some new guys, some younger faces step up. It's time to see Damian Daniels. It's time to see the Davis twins play more. Deontal Thomas, you know, get some more snaps. You know, get some young guys in here, some fresh legs, not as much scar tissue mentally going through some bad losses, and see what these boys can do. Kind of let them loose and go have some fun.
We'll get into that aspect of just kind of going out, letting it all hang out tomorrow versus pressing to get that first win. We'll have a recruiting update. Greg Smith is coming up here shortly on Hail Varsity Radio. A lot of walk-on offers are out, and Greg's going to be checking out Lincoln High tonight in town. We've had Jake, the Big Red fan, all the way from Wichita. Yeah, all the way from Wichita up here. So that's all good to see him and his wonderful family. We're here at the Graduate. 9th and P is where we're at, just across from Old Chicago. The Top Golf simulation suites are a ton of fun. The Tiki Bar is just over to our left and around the corner. There's a Caddyshack theme going on. Bill Murray is going to be in Coach Osborne's box tomorrow. So Carl Spackler, mm-hmm. the poster's alive and well. There's a Bushwood insignia. Yeah,
I need that sign. Well, it'll look great in my basement.
I think it would. Now, I don't know that many folks can stop you if you just say, hey, I'm Jay Moore, and try tackling me. but you're not that kind of guy. There still is a Hall of Fame fullback here. He likes lemon in his water. He's off in his own world.
He is.
A quick timeout. Greg Smith coming up. Hail Varsity live at the Graduate. 9th and P, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery here at the Graduate Hotel, 9th and P. And Purdue is feeling it. They are invading. It's all good. A lot of Purdue fans here playing top golf. There's a gentleman who's playing top golf that he got better distance in the simulator than I do off the tee box. It's one of those things, and it's nice to have you here. Big Red Jake is here from Wichita. That's interesting. Jay Moore is here, Blackshirt. Jay, we know what we had to do is we had to just film something here for Troy. You trying to take down the old Bushwood Country Club insignia.
Yeah, that would, I mean,
you would be
our,
cool.
Just got to ask our friend Troy.
Yeah, get Troy, but get your Adidas pullovers.
Mm-hmm.
And put a Bushwood insignia on it.
Okay.
I think you could do that.
Absolutely. That'd be easy to do.
Let's get caught up, talk a little recruiting. And recruiting analyst Greg Smith with us here on Hail Varsity Radio at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Mr. Greg, how are you?
I am excellent, man. How are you guys being invaded and surrounded by Purdue fans?
Well, I get here to set up, and the Purdue P didn't drive in the bus, but he should have been because there's three busloads. And, yeah, man, it's we got an idea. And that idea is for Jay Moore and Rondell Moore to play nine holes of top golf and the loser doesn't play tomorrow.
I would be okay with that. As long as Jay is willing to take one for the team there, I'm okay with making that sacrifice.
Jay is a state champion at golf, so this could work out well.
I like where this is going.
How do you like where the recruiting's going, specifically with some of the in-state and walk-on offers? Give folks an update what's been happening.
Yeah, so Nebraska this week picked up its latest in-state walk-on, preferred walk-on commitment from Riley Moses, an offensive lineman from Fillmore Central. He goes about 6'3", 265 pounds. He plays on both lines right now for his high school, but he'll start off on the offensive line. And then other than that, that was the second one that they've had. They're really starting to ramp up, get some of these preferred walk-ons out. Tyson Guzman, Nick Leader, who Jacob Padilla got to see, have a couple tackles for loss in a sack in his game last night. Nebraska's really starting to hone in on, after, you know, the first 4 or 5 weeks here of high school football in the state, of who they'd like to fill those preferred walk-on spots with.
Greg Smith's with us here, Hail Varsity Radio, recruiting analyst at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. They are honing in, and what's been your vibe? What's been kind of your reception to the walk-ons? Coach Frost has obviously made it a very important point with his program and the direction they want to go. But from a reception standpoint, in-state kids, is there kind of a renewed sense of excitement to, all right, maybe I can earn a scholarship, but I want to go play for Nebraska. I will go play for Nebraska before I take that scholarship somewhere else? Have you seen that shift, or is it still a work in progress?
It is still a work in progress with some of the guys that are on the borderline, but I think those are always going to be case by case. If a guy has a scholarship to go somewhere else versus walking on at Nebraska, but what you do already see is a renewed excitement around the walk-on program for guys that are getting these offers, because I think there's a trust that if they are to come into the program, that they'll have an opportunity to compete for playing time and eventually earn scholarships down the road. I think when you talk to some of the kids that are already on the team right now with walk-ons or some of their parents, they rave about the plan that Scott Frost has laid out for their kids to be able to get there. So I think that that's spreading, and I think guys have that trust that they can actually earn a spot.
What's Nebraska's week been like from a recruitment standpoint? Some of the needs for 19. Take us through what some of your recon tells you.
Yeah, I think right now there's been a little bit of a shift in my eyes to making sure that Nebraska tries to lock down this offensive line. Now, not that they were not before, but I think coming into the season, defensive back, particularly cornerback, was the big glaring need. I think that spot in the secondary has been a little bit better than expected. The offensive line has been a little worse than expected. So I think Nebraska's really trying to get more offensive linemen in the mix in addition to the guys that they've already hosted. And they've hosted a handful of offensive offensive linemen on official visits. They'll have one this weekend, and three-star Jeremy James, an Ole Miss commit, will be here with his family on an official visit. So I think they're really trying to turn up the heat on the offensive line. But other than that, they just need to uncover more playmakers to give themselves more options, because I think they're trending to lose a couple of these top-end athletes at skill positions to Ohio State, which is a double gut punch. But I think that Nebraska will definitely need to continue to chop wood on that aspect.
Greg, how's the JUCO recruiting scene look? I know Nebraska in the past years did not dip into there, but here recently to fill some very vacant roles on this football team, they've gone JUCO ranks. How is that situation looking now for Frost and company?
Yeah, they're turning that around, and I think that's a Ryan Held special. As you know, he's the JUCO recruiting coordinator. They just offered yesterday a kid, Marquise Bell, a safety out of Coffeyville, Kansas, who was a four-star coming out of high school, was a Maryland bounce back, one of the top defensive JUCO players out there. And I think he's talking a little bit about taking a visit and checking Nebraska out for himself. Nebraska, again, will also try and look for some offensive linemen, particularly offensive tackle at JUCO. I think you'll see some more JUCO offers go out here over the next week or so as Nebraska gets a better handle on who's playing well in games to be able to readdress their needs.
Greg Smith with us a few minutes here. Hail Varsity Radio recruiting analyst at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. And Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, we're down here at the Graduate 9th and P. Top Golf Simulator is going extremely well. Folks are having a good time with that. Greg Smith's been all over recruiting this week and forever, to be honest with you. And Greg, touch on the skill guy. Nebraska lost out to Ohio State. That's not new, but eventually that can get kind of turned around. Got a couple minutes left here. Nebraska's chasing who at some of the skill spots, and can Nebraska make up some ground despite the way this season started?
Yeah, the guy that you're referencing there, Jameson Williams, four-star wide receiver out of St. Louis, who decided about an hour ago, put out a video that he's going to Ohio State. Big problem here is not only is this a talented, fast player that you wanted at Nebraska who took an unofficial visit here, he's staying in conference, going to Ohio State, and he's from St. Louis, an area in which Nebraska has struggled to recruit here over the last handful of years, and that place continues to be ripe with talent. Nebraska just can't break through. Ohio State continues to cherry pick out of that area. The other guy to keep an eye on is someone we've talked a lot about, Wandale Robinson, three-star athlete out of Kentucky who continues to put up video game numbers his senior season. He announced that he's going to be taking his final official visit to Ohio State next week. He had previously named Nebraska and Alabama as his leaders, but it is not a good sign for Nebraska and Alabama that Ohio State gets that last visit, because Urban doesn't miss a lot when you get that last visit. And he's got a lot to offer that kid with that offense and how well they're playing right now. So Nebraska will continue to look for those playmakers, but those two in particular might be tough sledding with.
You know, Urban misses when, you know, he's in timeout and he can't talk to the kids, but, you know, that doesn't happen every so often, I guess. Greg, we got 20 seconds. Where are you at tonight, bud?
Yeah, I'll be at Beecher Field tonight to see Lincoln High against North Platte, checking out Cedric Case, North Dakota commit quarterback for Lincoln High, who's been down to a couple of Nebraska games as well.
Greg, awesome stuff. Thanks for a few.
Hey, thanks as always, guys. Enjoy that top golf.
Will do, brother. Greg Smith, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. We'll wind down hour one next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. I want to remind you about the laws of physics. They apply whenever you're in your vehicle, when you're traveling. You're going the same speed as that automobile, even though you're just sitting on your butt. And when your vehicle stops abruptly, that hard stop and crash, your body continues moving forward at the same speed. Something's got to stop that motion. Airbags aren't enough. The seatbelt is, though. Would you rather the seatbelt stop you or the windshield? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury to your vehicle and your body, and they slow you down when there's nothing going on but hurry. You know what? You can buckle up now in the driver's seat, in the passenger seat, in the back seat. It'll save lives. Click it or ticket, a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. We'll dive into some Nebraska-Purdue, the offensive and defensive lines we've touched on. We'll get into the quarterbacks a little bit. Black Shirt Jay. Let's talk Thursday night football for a second. Your buddy Sue and company outlasted Minnesota. Minnesota's a good squad. Man, I know Minnesota's not off to a great start. L.A. is. But, man, they look extremely talented. You spent 4 years in the league, brother. The NFL's kind of bouncing back. It's really pretty entertaining to watch.
That was really good.
I love that.
I like watching college a lot more than I do NFL, but that was a great game because the Miami-North Carolina was not very much of a football game last night. But that was a hell of a game. That could be, depends on how the year plays out, that could be a rematch for like the NFC Championship game later this year. Easily, if the Vikings kind of get things figured out defensively. But I tell you what, Sean McVay is a hell of a football coach. What he was doing offensively, getting those linebackers.
Yeah, what's Barr doing on the slot,
right,
for God's
right,
sake?
Right, but it happens. It does happen, but... You know, in defenses, and I think good defenses, and Zimmer is a great defensive mind as a head coach for Minnesota, but it's giving your linebackers like a way out, you know, because I know I'd find myself covered up against, you know, and it happens. Like, that's the kind of matchup you're going to have to get, because a lot of times I'd get lined up against a receiver or a slot receiver in the slot. We'd kind of check out of it and say, all right, let's switch the coverage here because
hey,
I can't. A little help here. But there's sometimes where the matchup you have to take is against a tight end or running back. And that throw he had against Gurley in the end zone where Barr had good coverage just as a back return, that was a hell of a throw and a catch. But there, you know, when you get Barr on cup, that's not a good matchup. That's
just
a good
Ward,
right.
Too.
Yeah, that's a really good call by McVay, understanding just getting him in certain situations where they know that's what they're going to get. But that was a hell of a football game. That was a lot of fun to watch. Even with all the weird roughing the passer crap going on, what isn't. I mean, that's absolutely bananas the way that thing's going. But it is. It's a little more enjoyable. I think it's a more enjoyable, too, because I got back into fantasy football this year.
Yeah, somebody
I'm
advised
awful right
me
now.
To not start golf last night. Casino, Danny. That was my bad. All on. I'm starting Wentz. I didn't start golf. That was a mistake. I just said Minnesota's defense is going to hold them to 24, right? Not the case.
Yeah, it's such a crapshoot. I mean, my fantasy, I had Brady last week. It was all set up to win. Doesn't do anything against Detroit. And I have Ridley on my bench. He gets like 60 points. Mm-hmm. But that's why I remember I don't do fantasy football because it drives me nuts because it's a total crapshoot.
At least your GM isn't mocking you every night at dinner. Dad, we should have started this guy. Yeah. You're grounded. Give me your Madden game and clean your room, you little puke. We are into hour two. We're at the Graduate Hotel, 9th and P. Come see us. Hail Varsity continues. Bill Dolman on the way. Klotzberg next hour.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. It's hour two. It's Hail Varsity Radio. Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury and NBC Sports. Shortly, we are here at the Graduate Hotel, 9th and P, just across from Old Chicago in the Haymarket. Top Golf Suites. And Jay, you test drove a Top Golf Suite when we opened up before the Colorado game. You were crushing it. No shock there.
No, it was for the Akron game.
Oh, that's right. The old lightning storm.
Right.
We are waiting Rondell Moore, so Jay Moore and Rondell Moore can play golf, and the loser has to sit out tomorrow. Jay is a state champion of golf in Nebraska. Rondale's incredibly talented, and if he's watching instead of catching tomorrow, that would do everybody a solid in the state of Nebraska.
It would help out a little bit.
You're willing to do that.
Absolutely. I'll take him
on the team. We just need Rondale to miraculously appear. Purdue fans, you can work on that, can't you? Just asking. We'll see. The line is still 3.5 Boilermakers. And before this show is done, we are going to have a sea bass. Right? We're going to get a Boilermaker.
Mm-hmm.
A beer and a whiskey.
Okay.
And Big Red Jake's paying for it.
Like that.
Let's bring on the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports' own Bill Dolman with us, and he's out in California. Billy D, are you with us?
I am with you.
How are you?
I'm well. It's a good thing that you're not with me at the beautiful Motel 6 in San Luis Obispo, California.
Okay, so San Luis Obispo, California. I've heard of it. So you're in the Motel 6? Is the light left on for you?
Apparently, there's something going on in town other than the Montana game tomorrow. And therefore, hotel rooms were at a premium, and my booking was made quite late. So, yeah, I'm at a Motel 6. It's the glamorous life of television.
Let me ask you this. Did you ever stay in a motel with a bunch of dudes, a crash pad, and did you lose the bet and have to sleep in there?
Whoa. First of all, I might run for office someday. I categorically deny any question to whatever you're going to ask me. So
I'm saying,
have no
did you
idea.
Get the bathtub? Some of us have had to sleep in the bathtub before.
I have no recollection.
Wow.
Yeah.
How'd you like the hearings?
Well, you know, I started thinking I need to start doing a calendar. I think that was the best thing.
Hey, can we talk football?
Okay.
So your takeaway from the Michigan flogging?
Well, it reminded me a little bit of the Colorado game that everybody back in Denver and all those Colorado fans seem to hang their hat on. That one game, remember 62-34, 62-36, whatever it was. Yeah. I remember that one game. I also remember basically the other 49, okay? But that game was relatively close, and I still maintain that if Darren Dietrich hadn't fumbled early on in the second half, I think it was, that game could have been different. But it was the turnover that turned things and just was a total buzzkill, and Nebraska got steamrolled in the second half of that game. I thought the way they came out on the first couple of plays of the game against Michigan, there looked like there was some life and some purpose, and, you know, there was the pass to Morgan, and then there was the tip ball and the interception, and things just went south. So, you know, I it's hard to say, well, that was just a couple of plays, but I thought, you know, Adrian Martinez is in there. They move the ball to midfield and get the pick, and it just steamrolled from there. How it would have turned out the other 58 minutes, I don't know. But that pick on the opening drive changed the game dramatically.
Don't disagree. I mean, the woulda, coulda, shoulda, with how things, how would things have gone if there's no tip ball and you get Spielman up the seam for maybe 7. And that's what this team's needing. And Jay's talked about it this week. And Bill, I'm sure you have a take on being able to settle in and get off to a fast start. But do you worry about the team pressing tomorrow to actually go execute that?
I don't know if you're going to see a Nebraska team that's pressing. I think you're going to see a team that, what I'm more worried about than anything is that the spirit and the enthusiasm that we saw in the Colorado game and what I think we would have seen against Akron, I hope that it is not manufactured. I hope over the course of the last 6 days that there has been some semblance of reflection by these guys about how much they like playing the game, that they understand what Nebraska football means, and that they need to represent themselves, their teammates, and the state in the way that reflects the way Nebraskans expect and will accept the results, right? I have always said, Nebraska football fans, the vast majority, not the lunatic fringe, can accept a loss if you play with passion, you execute, and you know you give the effort, and you honor the game, and you honor the school and the uniform. People can accept a loss. The loss to Texas that ended the 40-some game home winning streak, 27-24, was a phenomenal football game. People left the stadium that night going, you know what? That was a great game. We gave a great effort. We weren't the better team, I don't think we were a favorite going in, but people accepted it. We beat Pittsburgh 1 year during the four-year case of the flu, 7-3, and people are going, this is not the way the game is supposed to be played. There was dissatisfaction with the victory, and I think justifiably so. It doesn't mean we're spoiled. It means we know how the game is supposed to be played and how you represent the team. Now, going back to what I said, I hope there's been a time of reflection for these guys to understand the opportunity that they have, the privilege that it is to be a Nebraska Cornhusker, and they play like it. Not that they're trying to be it, but that they understand it. And if they understand it and play like that, Nebraska will win the football game.
Bill Dolman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. And we're talking Nebraska and Purdue. What do you think Coach Frost is saying to his guys tonight? What do you think he's been?
I don't think he's
able
anything.
To reinforce. He said that the week's been good. The week of practice has been good. That wasn't the case last week.
I think that's probably what he has said. I think that Scott Frost has probably handled this week much in the same way his mentor would have handled this week, just the way he would have handled last week, right? It's you go game by game, week by week, day by day. And he probably is just telling his team in a very matter-of-fact way, guys, we had a great week of practice. I'm not going to build it up. I'm not going to tear it down. We had a good week of practice. You know what to do. Go out and do it. It's when you try to manufacture this high note and try to get guys high, and what do you do next week? You know? I don't think you can look at and say Purdue is the target. Purdue's the rival. No, Purdue is the game this week. And you go about your business. You've done much better this week than last. Now go out and execute it. You know your assignments. Don't be afraid to fail, but enjoy the game. That's the bottom line. I don't think you're going to see him get all hyped up and freaking out like some immature coach that really doesn't know how to pace himself. Scott Frost knows how to pace himself. And I think that his message to his team is just go about and get the job done.
You know, I think that's fair. I think he is frustrated, but I also think he's working with a situation he thought, I mean, you see one thing against Colorado, you see something completely different against Troy, and then Michigan's Michigan, and now you get Purdue. And it's got to be killing him, though, that he hasn't won a game yet. And he's probably harder on himself than any vocal minority could be.
Oh, I'm sure he is. But he can't let that show. And this kind of goes back to, four, five, 6 years ago when Nebraska fans were clamoring that we got to hire Scott. And I probably would have agreed with that. But maybe he wasn't ready. He's had time to grow up as a head coach, to be in situations where you got to, maintain yourself. He's been around Tom, who certainly knows how to weather storms. Tom never had a storm like this. But, one loss during Tom's era was far greater than what Nebraska is enduring right now, okay? I remember 19-0 when Scott was the quarterback in Tempe, Arizona. I remember losses to Iowa State. I remember, the Oklahoma losses. Tom was steady, and I think that Scott had the opportunity over the last 4 or 5 years since his profile increased to go to Central Florida to be a head coach and now to come back to Nebraska and be around Tom to understand never too high, never too low, especially when you have the head coaching job at the University of Nebraska. And I got to say, I also don't think that there are very many people out there who are saying that the whole Scott Frost hiring was a mistake. Now what? I mean, I have read the stories over the last week, and I have seen the headlines, and I read Mike Bianchi's article in the Orlando Sentinel that had a jar of Vaseline next to it when he put his pen down. Look, and I think there are very few Nebraska fans who would say something like, we made a mistake, or who's next? Because who would be next? Who on earth could Nebraska have gotten to take that job, right? I'm sure Bill Moose had an idea of who, if choice one didn't get the job or didn't take the job. I'm sure he had an idea of where to go. But there has been no greater hire in the last decade for a major football program than Scott Frost to the University of Nebraska. And Nebraska fans thinking, well, second guessing it, that's just absolute stupidity. And there's a lot stronger words I could say, and if this was a cable show, I probably would. But anybody who thinks that Scott Frost wasn't the right guy and the only guy for the job is fooling themselves. Because if Scott doesn't take that job, this is without question a volleyball school.
And it still may be. It's going to be this year.
Well, sure it is. It's the greatest volleyball program in the history of the sport. I don't discount that, right? But the football program would have taken a 180-degree turn, even worse than it was, okay? And I still maintain it's a marquee program. It wouldn't have been national television on opening night with Akron if it wasn't a major program, right?
Gotcha. Completely agree with that. Bill, any thought on how Nebraska wins tomorrow? What worries you about Purdue?
Well, I think Purdue's playing has confidence, for one. I think they're a year ahead of Nebraska in terms of confidence. And then the win last week certainly gives them some confidence, and they're probably looking around going, well, look what happened, you know, to those guys against Michigan. They lost to freaking Troy. Come on. Purdue might be coming
That's
in
the
there.
That's the new name is freaking Troy.
I like Troy. I liked him when we played him, you know, back in like 98 or so. You know, we had the AD on the kickoff show on KFOR. And I got a soft spot for those guys, right? But I think that there's an element that Purdue might be taking a little bit too, thinking too much of itself, that confidence may not have a whole lot of root yet. So I would think that at some point, if Nebraska comes out and gives the effort that it did against Colorado, there might be some doubt in the Boilermakers as to, you know what, maybe these guys are better than we thought they were. And I think Nebraska will have the crowd into it. I think if they give a good effort, I think that's the main thing, is the frame of mind for the Huskers. I think that they know they got to play assignment football. The offensive line has got to play better. Like they did against Colorado, not like they have the last couple of weeks. But I think Nebraska's mindset is of the utmost importance.
I tell you what, Bill, it's that time. We got about 90 seconds, and it's time to wind up and deliver a prediction that is on point before you get back to Motel 6 land.
Well, you know, I've been hanging my hat the first couple of weeks of the season that Nebraska would win. And I thought that, you know, it could be close games. And I don't remember the score, but I'm sure you've got it written down or carved into your dashboard. I'm going to go with the same score that I predicted in weeks 1 and 2, because at some point I know I'm going to nail it. I think it was like 541-11.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
Three field goals and a safety.
I think you take Nebraska and the points.
I think you take Nebraska and the points as well. How did you cope? I got about 30 seconds. How did you cope with Nebraska being underdog by 3.5 tomorrow?
I know those guys are smart, mm-hmm. and I give great deference to our good friend Tony George. But I think that there is an intangible. I grew up watching CBS, you know, when Brent Musburger had Jimmy the Greek Snyder on, and there was always that's where I first learned the word intangible. Jimmy the Greek Snyder taught me the word intangible, and I think that there's going to be a big red intangible at play tomorrow.
Bill Dolman, live from a Motel 6. who's your game tomorrow? 10 seconds.
My good friend Bobby Houck at Montana takes on the Cal Poly Mustangs, who, by the way, run a triple option offense. Their coach yesterday, when I see a fullback trap, I will begin to weep with nostalgia.
I love it. At Bill Dolman.
He told me, have the tissues ready because we're going to run it.
That'll be good. Bill, have a great call, brother. Thanks for the time.
Thanks.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug.
Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. We're here at the graduate 9th and P with Hail Varsity Radio. Road Show Friday. Myself, Schmitty here, and Black Shirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Still time for you to get down here. Try a burger. They're grilled cheese. You're like, Schmidt, yeah. I can make that at home. Not like this.
It looked good.
Get a grilled cheese here.
Need a bowl
and
of tomatoes.
While there's still Bombay Sapphire around before Husker Jake finishes the whole freaking bottle, get yourself a cocktail. Purdue's wandering through the hallways here. Their bus is out front. Top Golf Suites are in front of us. Jay Moore is going to hopefully take on Rondell Moore of Purdue, and the loser sits out tomorrow in Top Golf. That's the idea. We want to see you down at the Real Red Reaction post-game show tomorrow, as we'll be on right after Purdue-Nebraska finishes up. Live in the rail yard, myself, Danny Burke. Pre-game show tomorrow, weekend edition of Hail Varsity, 7 to 9 a.m. There'll be a Mark Kranach sighting manana. And go stop by and see the good folks at the Big Ten Network as they get the BTN tailgate rolling at 9 a.m. Our good friend Jerry DiNardo was able to stop by around 4 o'clock or so. We have a Mike Schaefer sighting, and it's wonderful. It's a glorious beard. I like the slacks, too. It's good to see him. Bird, let's talk a little bit about the defense, mm-hmm. the front seven, mm-hmm. what Nebraska can do, what Nebraska needs to do, and how, for the love of God, you check Moore tomorrow. Two touchdowns of his five, over 76 yards. And he's a Tariq Hill clone, and David Blau's mobile, can move, and is impressive.
I mean, if they can duplicate, I haven't seen a whole lot of Purdue, but they can duplicate the pass rush that they got against Colorado. I mean, that will take care of half the battle there. But you're going to be without Mick, it sounds like.
Mick's out, yep.
So, I mean, you're short there, but I think Nebraska, they're fairly deep at D-line, so I'm not really concerned, but it's just creating that pressure. And I think it's constant pressure. And it, I mean, not only bringing pressure when you need to, but recreating it, you know, out of base looks. You know, they're going to your fourth game defensively now with this scheme to where everyone's kind of should feel a little more comfortable with their roles and how they can do things. And you can start hiding outside linebackers. You know, one guy looks like he's going to rush, but he ends up dropping. The other guy looks like he was going to drop, he can rush. So you can start, you know, hopefully moving protection certain ways and doing those little things. But, you know, linebacker-wise from the inside, they got to, you know, Mo Berry got to keep doing his thing. Dedrick Young needs to clean it up.
Where's Dedrick at? Because he had a lot of folks had a rough day on Saturday.
Sure.
You got him and Honus. Mo Berry was super aggressive, but was out of position a few times. It was just tough.
Yeah. Well, Michigan was offensively was on all cylinders. Offensive line, I know they said that, you know, has it.
They didn't hit the whole 1,000 miles per hour, and if he had a...
But there was times where, I mean, again, like I said earlier in the first hour, I said Nebraska defensively, even offensively at times, they're a yard off their spots where they need to be, and they're playing a little hesitant. There was a time where, I mean, I broke it down on Tuesday night where Nebraska was good. They were clean. If Dedrick Young shoots his gun and goes attacks it on that first big play, Michigan's first drive, it's a 2 yard gain,
right?
instead of Dedrick overruns it just slightly, the center gets up on the second level and is able to see off Mo Berry, and then he's off for the races. So it's just little things. He was there. He just overruns it a little bit. I don't know what his eyes were telling him, or what he was seeing, or what they, you know, thought schematically on what they saw maybe early in the week in film and in practice, if it told them something else. But they're there. They're just off. I mean, even against the plays against Troy a couple weeks ago defensively, bad eye discipline. Guys were looking in the wrong spot, and you just like you just get your body turned the wrong way, and it's hard to recoup because that's how perfect you have to be in this level of football. Not only against teams like Troy, then you go into really good teams like Michigan, and you start getting to conference play. You have to play with sound, excellent technique because that's gonna seal you up. That's gonna make you the toughest throughout the game. Yeah, they might get you here every now and then. You might get a bad call. You might get you for a couple big plays, but you have to still play with good technique, and that's just where Nebraska's lapsed a little bit. And you see these big plays, it's just a little overrunning here, bad eye discipline here. Your shoulders get turned a little bit too much in this area. You guess maybe one too many times. You throw the guy into the wrong gap. It's literally minute details, but when you're at this level of football, you have to be that perfect. Nebraska just hasn't been playing that perfect. And then that happens, you get gashed against the good teams, and you get beat in close games by teams you should have beat in, like Troy. So defensive line, keep doing your thing. Inside linebackers, clean it up a little bit. Trust your eyes, trust your feels. You've played a lot of football. Trust it and just go make plays. And I just don't know defensively sometimes they're trusting at this point yet.
Jay Moore with us here, Hail Varsity Radio, live at the Graduate 9th and P. As here every home football Friday, Top Golf is there for you. It's pretty awesome. They got the simulators here. It's cold outside, but nice and warm in here. You can order a Boilermaker. We won't yell at you. Plenty of food and drink specials. Where will Purdue go to work? They got a mobile quarterback that is, this is such a bad take, but from a mobility comparison, he's mobile like an Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, I would think they would.
Is that a fair comparison?
Yeah. Put on that Colorado tape a little bit what they're able to do with Montez, because he was a bigger, he had some mobility to him with one really good receiver. You know, not the same type of body type as Moore is, but kind of see what they're able to do. But he's played really, really good here. I can't remember his stats. I think this is his third game that he's played here now. I think
it's third time against Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean, it's his stat line was really
– he's a freshman when they went 55-45, right?
I mean, his stat line is really impressive. Only like one interception, and his completion percentage is like 60-some percent over – I mean, it's really good in my opinion.
71% now.
Yeah, very okay. Yes.
but he's probably hitting 68%.
Right, sure. Yeah, I know we have the stats somewhere, but I mean, let's say it's he's played really well here. But you create the pressure, you know, get him uncomfortable, get him off of spots, get him out of rhythm, win on first down. I think that's important for both sides of the ball offensively, offensively and defensively. Win on first down tomorrow. But they're going to be able to do a lot of things. They're going to be multidimensional and trying to get more of the ball as quick as possible and fast as possible. So it'll be fun to see the game plan and how it plays out tomorrow for the defense.
Let's talk Maurice Washington. Let's go offense for a second. There was a bit of a panic about him. Coach Frost kind of calmed the world down wearing red and white. What's your take on Maurice and what you may see from him tomorrow with that stomach bug going around?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much food he's able to keep down. And if you can't keep anything down, if you got a stomach bug of some sort, your energy is just not quite there. You get tired a lot quicker. You lose your mental focus a lot quicker. So it'll be interesting to see his role. You saw a limited role against Michigan. Obviously, you saw what he was able to do against Troy. But you need him. You need him tomorrow in a game like this. You need this offense. You need three backs that you can count on. So hopefully he's ready to go. And hopefully he can be explosive and create something, give you that edge. And when you're talking about the Jimmys and Joes in this type of game, and he's one of those guys, he's one of those dudes that you can kind of just – even though you call the play, he can kind of create something for himself if the play is broken down. And that's what you kind of need, a player like that in year one of a new system. So hopefully he's ready to go and he can break some off and make some hay against Purdue's D.
What back gives Nebraska the best chance tomorrow? And I know they're all dynamic. I know they're all talented. They all have their specialty. But who do you ride if you have your choice tomorrow? Is tomorrow a Divine Ozigbo day?
Potentially.
A little attitude.
Potentially just a guy that, you know, can get you damn near 3 yards if need be. But, again, in this type of system, you know, it's such a hot hand. You know, when you get rolling and you get going quick and you're getting 5-6 yards a play and you're snapping it, With 25, 30 seconds left on the clock, you can't be shifting guys in and out of there. So it might be, hey, Bell's in there, and hell, we just went 12 plays and scored in a couple minutes, but we're going, and hey, we got the hot hand, and then, you know, Ogbigbo might be the next guy to spell him. They do the same thing or whatnot, or, you know, get stuffed, and you're just kind of rotating, and it's just kind of a feel thing. I think all guys can accomplish it, but once you kind of get into this style of game and is a conference play, you need a guy who's been there before and who has those reps and who has them as Ogbigbo. I know Bell's played some high-level JUCO ball. He still doesn't have them, but he can provide that.
Are you waiting for something more from him?
Yeah, he does. I mean, absolutely. He doesn't quite have that burst, that pop that I think. And I know he was banged
game
up a
three.
Little bit. Yeah, he's banged up a little bit. But, yeah, you know, you expect him to show up here rather quickly. I'm not saying it's been bad, but, again, it's you know, real versus, you know, reality, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, I think what we saw against Colorado wasn't quite, you know, what he's able to do. But, you know, I think he'll get a fair shake tomorrow, but it's going to be interesting. I think tomorrow is a Divine Ogbigbo day where it's just kind of a, you know, grind it out 3-4 yards here, pop something here, and then put the next guy and see what happens. But I think it's Ziggy's day tomorrow.
Last thought here, and this staff will keep running it because it's part of their offense. It's a stable. It opens up the seam. But what's up with the bubble blocking? Got about 90 seconds.
Yeah, it's been tough. Tight ends have been struggling. Tight ends have been struggling mightily, catching and blocking. You haven't seen much. I know they want to utilize them more. They haven't been able to do that. But the tight ends got to steal the edge better. I know defense, you always say you got to set the edge, and contain. Tight ends got to do a better job blocking up front, winning those one-on-one battles. If you can't do that, then it's tough, and especially in this scheme. We're going in the zone blocks and all that stuff. You need your tight ends to be able to win the one-on-one blocks, and they just haven't done it yet.
Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFL, or his thoughts on Nebraska, Purdue, an offensive look right there. And I want to remind you about your friends at Wilderness Ridge. The brunch is for real and very spectacular. After you play some golf, you go get your feed bag on 10 to 2 every Sunday. It's one of Junior's favorites, to be honest. He's the biscuits and gravy king. So stop on by after your tea time, before your tea time, Wilderness Ridge. Go see Shuey and the gang, wildernessridgegolf.com, 402-434-5106. We're here at the Graduate every home football Friday. We'll be back at the Graduate for Minnesota, the Gophers. But they have Top Golf suites here. The simulators are awesome. The tiki bars loaded up and full. There's some room out here, some leather couches to relax upon. So we invite you down here, 9th and P with Hale Varsity Radio. A quick timeout. Clausburn is coming up. The Friday forecast is next.
And now, back to Hale Varsity Radio.
We are back here at the Graduate Hotel. Rick's going to his first Nebraska game tomorrow. He is from South Bend, Indiana. We both shake our head and smile about the time Nebraska invaded Touchdown Jesus.
You were there.
I was there, physically. Let me tell you about staying overnight with Mark Kranak and a Camp KOA. How many Mennonites he about drilled with the minivan. It was a little rough. It is Friday forecast time, and Danny Burke is ready to just tell folks how brilliant he is. Let's see if Clausburn's with us. Clausburn, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. I got to apologize. I'm not probably at the top of my game, although these days who is in Lincoln? I've had to take on an extra job, so I'm in traffic right now. I had to take the extra job so we can pay Carl Fail Bondsman every week. So I apologize if I'm not quite as sharp as I normally am.
No, you're good. Now, does the Bail Bondsman look like the dude from Jackie Brown and the guy who smuggled Heisenberg to New Hampshire?
Looks more like the guy from the back of the Bears jerseys there in the Walter Matthau movie. So,
oh, okay. Gotcha.
Keep it classy.
I'm just asking. Danny, are you ready to school people with your gambling picks yet again?
I'm ready to rock, man. Looking for 3 weeks in a row here and to make it 4 wins total. So I'm ready, man.
Give us the rundown of who did what last week.
All right. Well, I went 3-1 overall.
Of course you did.
You went 1-3, and Clausburn went 500. He was at 2-2, so fade Schmitty's picks, and you should be looking all right.
There we go. Let's start off. South Carolina is at Kentucky. Stoops, man, the Wildcats are 4-0. It's been a long time since Leach was the OC there. And Hal Mumme was chucking the football all the way around the world for a 7-5 Kentucky team. They are ranked. They are 17th in the country. But the Gamecocks invade minus one. Danny, start us off.
I'm going to roll with the Gamecocks here. I just don't really see Kentucky keeping it up. And Kentucky has not played well at home against South Carolina in their history. They're 3-6 against the Gamecocks. So I'm taking South Carolina minus one, winning 30-27.
I think there'll be some points in this one as well. I'm going to go South Carolina 35-31, the win, the cover for South Carolina. Big Blue is very sad. Jay.
Give me Kentucky. They're at home. I like Kentucky 35-31.
Okay, so you're going the other way. Clausburn, what do you like, Kentucky or South Carolina?
Well, you know, guys, a Gamecock is a glorified chicken. And when a chicken finds its way wandering into Kentucky, it usually gets slapped around with 11 herbs and spices that, frankly, is a little bit disappointing unless you get the gravy. So I expect more of the same, and I'll take Kentucky in this one, 35-27.
All right, moving on. Notre Dame hosting Stanford. Stanford pulled a magic act in Autzen. Man, what a ball game. And Bryce Love's kind of been non-existent. But Stanford has volleyball players that like to wear helmets that are 6'7", and it's worked out in the slot. I think Notre Dame's defense pretty good. Notre Dame's quarterback change has worked out. They're more impressive offensively. Give me the Irish to stay unbeaten, 35-28, the win. And Notre Dame is moving on. Stanford is favored, I believe, Danny, correct? Minus 5.5?
No, the Fighting Irish are favored because they're at home 5.5.
Yeah, I screwed that up. The phone is what I'm going to blame. Point is I'm going to say Notre Dame wins and covers. Danny.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Notre Dame has their new quarterback in there, Ian Book. He did great against Wake Forest. Stanford, I just feel like they're due to lose here. Big game against Oregon. They caught some breaks. And they really haven't beat their opponents by too much. So on the road, I don't see them winning. Notre Dame will win and cover 28-20.
All right, Jay Moore.
I got to go with the Irish here, too. They're playing some good football. Give me the Irish 42 and Stanford 28. Big win.
Okay, big win. Clausburn, Notre Dame or Stanford?
Well, first of all, I expected you to be more happy that I didn't make a bunch of sophomoric jokes about South Carolina's mascot, but okay. And secondly,
I kind of like the Kentucky Fried Chicken stuff. That was good. That was funny.
Well, it's because we're getting close to dinner and we're all hungry. So anyhow, you know, I don't watch a lot of West Coast football. It's way past my and Nancy's bedtime. And Notre Dame is once again highly rated, but about as interesting as watching grass grow. So I'm just going to take the team that once had a band make fun of the state of Iowa so hard that they cried and wrote letters to the editor. And I'll take Stanford in this one, 24 and Notre Dame 21.
Ohio State is at Penn State. This one's going to be awesome. Minus three Buckeyes. Danny, set the tone.
Yeah, I'm taking the Buckeyes here. Penn State just has not looked as tough as they were meant out to be. While their score doesn't show it, if you actually watch how they play, it doesn't really show and come to fruition of what they should be. So I'm taking Haskins in this one on the road, beating the whiteout. The Buckeyes 42-35.
I like what Ohio State's doing. I like Dobbins a lot. And Haskins with Paris Campbell's incredible. The O-line's going to be the difference. And Penn State's been bad against the run. They've been bad against the run all season. And Ohio State will win this, and Ohio State will win it a bit comfortably. 41-31, they win. I think McSorley gets a few points. The running game's good for Penn State, but not enough. High-scoring one, and give me the Buckeyes by 10. Jay Moore.
I like Ohio State as well in return for Urban Meyer in this one. Give me Ohio State 31, Penn State 21.
Clausburn, who do you like, Penn State or Ohio State?
Well, before I get to that, I just wanted to share some of the inside information that I get. You know, I heard they were going to move this game to Cairo.
in Egypt, and then they could call it the Denial Bowl. I'm allowed a dad joke or two if I do this every week, guys. It's just going to happen. I had to concentrate really hard and not call it Caro, like Dana brought Caro Bolas. That's the right way to pronounce it, but anyhow. I'm going to go ahead and take Penn State in this one. I think Ohio State's entirely too distracted. So I like the Nittany Lions by a score of 38-31.
All right. Clausburn says Penn State knocks off Ohio State. Nebraska, Purdue, Boilers -3.5. Denny.
I got to ride Nebraska here. I took Michigan last week, but I really think the Huskers are at least going to cover this 3.5-point spread. They're 4-1 their last five games against Purdue, so I'm taking the Huskers 36-34.
All right, Danny says the win by 2. I'm going to pick the wrong day to quit smoking, sniffing glue, or doing amphetamines. Jay, what happens?
Well, my prediction for a Big Red wrap-up, I picked the Boilermakers this one, but I'm hedging my bets here.
Okay.
I'll hedge them, and I'll take the Big Red in a high-scoring game, 38-35.
Okay, I think Nebraska hits 38 as well. I think Purdue stays at 31. Give me Nebraska 38-31, and the win in the points. Why not? Clausburn, what do you say?
Well, I think this is going to be a really good game, and hopefully we can have another Big Ten Classic that gets shown about twice a week on BTN with Purdue. So I'm going to take Nebraska in this one. They're going to come back late, but they're going to win it 35-28.
All right. Clausburn, you be good.
Okay.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
One final time here at the graduate 9th and P Hail Varsity Radio Roadshow Friday. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore. Big thanks to Clausburn for joining us and for Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, for enlightening us with his selections yet again for entertainment purposes only. Great crowd in the Tiki Bar. Folks hanging out here around the Top Golf simulators. And we'll be back here for Minnesota Week. And good stuff from Coach Jerry DiNardo. BTN tailgate tomorrow at 9. That'll be rolling right outside of PBA. Want to see you out there. We'll do the weekend edition of Hail Varsity live in the rail yard tomorrow morning from 7 to 9. And then again, the Real Red Reaction Show in the rail yard right after Nebraska beats Purdue 38-31. Or 38-35, says Jay Moore. We have people from everywhere, man. We got Wichita. We have South Bend. We have folks from Lincoln. I mean, it's cool. Vern, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
It's been a week, man.
I know. It has been a week. I'm ready for a win.
Yes.
It'd be nice. It's been a while.
It's been a year.
I can't believe it. Was the last time we won a game was we beat Purdue?
Yep. And October 28th.
Wow.
Yeah, Wow's right.
It's just weird. You couldn't have scripted this start. You know,
This is screwed up.
I mean,
injury, lightning.
Right. Season plays out way differently even with Akron. I mean, you get to play that game. It's just been strange. I think the Kool-Aid was very strong at the beginning of this year and got some people's expectations a little higher than what they need to be.
Bro, and I was pouring more elixir into the punch. I thought they were going to be 7-8 wins.
6-6 was mine. I was like, you could talk me into 7.
You think they might get punched in the face by Colorado or Michigan, but they get better. The thing is they've gotten worse or right. they've not played as well.
And that's been the frustrating thing for everyone. But it just shows you. I mean, it's a complete rebuild. You're missing talent. You're missing in dudes in key spots, offensive line. You're missing guys there. You're playing a true freshman quarterback. That's just his thing.
But he's not been the problem.
No, he hasn't been the problem at all. It's been protecting him. It's been penalties. It's been turnovers.
How does a team do that? And I guess I'm going to answer my own question. They committed a lot of penalties. And I hate to go like, look at those guys before. But, I mean, there's some truth to it with discipline.
Right.
Right. The whole point in topic of discipline That's what's being installed.
Right.
You got to start somewhere, right?
Right. It's the knucklehead penalties. You know, when you can look at it when you go fast as an offense and your total plays are notched above where everyone else is, but you're going to have a little more penalties. But it's just doing the things to take care of it when you don't have the necessary talent to win. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska can't turn the ball over and they can't make stupid penalties.
Margin for error is minimal.
Absolutely.
Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Jay Bird, you'll be catching up with us Monday. I'd love hearing from you then. And then we'll see a Big Red wrap-up on Tuesday talking about that Nebraska win over Purdue. If you're a Nebraska fan, let's hope it happens. Big thanks to Danny Burke. And we'll talk to you tomorrow morning, weekend edition of Hail Varsity at 7 a.m. from the Rail Yard. Real Red Reaction going on right after the end of Purdue, Nebraska. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for coming down. We'll talk to you next time on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.